Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have a purpose with us. A purpose that we barely understand. A purpose that is declared to be a prophetic purpose, Lord. A purpose of fulfillment. For we are a prophetic people. We are a people called forth to realize all that you have given us in your Son, all that you mean to reveal to us by your Spirit, and all that you mean to bring forth through each one of us as you raise us as unique epistles of Christ, Lord. A covenant people, a people, O God, who will know you, a people who will truly come to love you, a people who will be able to express the wonders of your glory through everything that we do in thought, word, and in deed, through everything that we become. Father, enable us to appreciate the awesomeness of your thoughts over each one of our lives. Enable us, O God, to appreciate what your word is saying. So grant us a spirit of wisdom. Grant us a spirit of revelation in the true, full, and perfected knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the eyes of our heart will be enlightened with the understanding that knows the Holy One, Father, so that we will know what is the hope of his calling, Lord. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? O Father of glory, God of all comfort, may these be given in accordance to the working of the strength of your might that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above every principality, power, might, and dominion. O Father God, you are our strength. You are our shield. You are our defense. Make our feet like hinds' feet, that we will rise into the heights, O God, of the mount of the Lord. That we will truly, O God, be a people, O God, manifested, O God, as an anointed people who stand, O God, before you. In hearts that are circumcised by your Holy Spirit. In hearts that see you, hearts that know you, hearts that love you, hearts that belong to you. Enable us to see, enable us to hear, enable us to respond to you, O God. We ask this so that we will be the prophetic people that you have called us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today I want to talk about understanding the prophetic. And I want to do something that defines the prophetic. We are a prophetic people. What does that mean? That we are a people of fulfillment. The intent of God's word is fulfillment. The content of this book is prophetic. It is meant to be fulfilled. It is meant to be brought forth in a new creation. It is meant to be manifested in each one of us uniquely. You don't have to compete with anyone. You don't have to despise somebody else. You don't have to stick a knife into somebody's back to get ahead in the kingdom of God. Whatever God has given you, he has given you from the foundations of the world. The kingdom of God is not built on a competitive system. It is built grace upon grace. And what God has given you, he has given you. It is your job to receive it, to realize it, and to express it. And if you attempt to do that in a carnal way, then you will have nothing to do with the things of God. You will lose whatever it is that God has for you. It's very important to understand that. The kingdom of God is not the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God is not built out of the carnal systems of the world. The kingdom of God has got nothing to do with the systems of the world. The kingdom of God has got nothing to do with the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of God is open to your heart. The kingdom of God is open to the seeing eye and the hearing ear. The kingdom of God is open to the heart that loves God. The kingdom of God is a kingdom in heavenly places. The least in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than the Baptist. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. The kingdom of God is unveiled grace upon grace. The kingdom of God is revealed to us based on the merits of the Lamb. The kingdom of God is revealed to us based on the faith and love of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God will become our inheritance and our possession based on the character and nature of Jesus Christ that you and I can receive, realize, and express. The kingdom of God is given to us entirely in the merits of the Lamb. The kingdom of God is based on the testimony of Jesus, which the book of Revelation chapter 19 verse 10 says that it is the spirit of prophecy. We want to talk about the prophetic. We want to talk about what defines the prophetic. And the prophetic is contained in the word of God. Not in the letter of the word, but in the spirit of the word. The word that is to be made manifest into a living witness within us. So let's start by looking at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 and 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 and 15. I'm reading from the New American Standard. And this is what God says to us through Moses. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. The word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart. The word is not meant to be contained in a book. The word is meant to be revealed and developed in human hearts and be manifested through human mouths. We are to speak the word of God. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. That is what is said in the New King James Bible. If you have a New American Standard, it says, if anyone speak, let him speak the utterances of God. So the word of God is meant to become the oracles of God within us. It is meant to be manifested from our hearts through our mouths. And it's meant to manifest prosperity. It is meant to manifest life. It is meant to manifest goodness. It is meant to manifest light. It is meant to manifest the greatness of God. It is meant to be an expression of God's holy word. The word of God is designed to be prophetic. It is designed to be fulfilled. It is designed to be fulfilled in a living reality that is your being. I will repeat that. It is designed to be a living reality that is your being and my being. In this living reality of the Word of God that is brought alive in us by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, you and I are called sons of God. You and I are called a royal priesthood. You and I are called kings. You and I are called a prophetic people. And we are a prophetic people. And we need to develop this idea of being a prophetic people all of the time. Because we use our mouths all the time. We use our hearts continuously. If you take an example in the natural, if you look at yourself in your natural state, you understand that if your heart does not function, you are dead meat. You are a corpse. Behind that stands a prophetic meaning, a spiritual reality that is far more powerful than what your natural heart represents. Through your heart, God says in the book of Proverbs that your heart has the potential of manifesting the waters of life. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. For from it flow the springs of life. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, But a man of understanding draws it out. A man of understanding draws it out. So when you speak forth the word of God, it is not just simply memorizing the word of God. It is about understanding the word of God. And the understanding of the word of God comes through the testimony of Jesus. The word of God has been tried and tested in the life of Jesus Christ. It has been tried and tested through the cross. It has been tried and tested through his life and his ministry. It has been tried and tested in his character and his nature. It has been tried and tested in the works that he has manifested in his life. And the word that has been released in the testimony of Jesus is invested with resurrection power. And it's meant to be revealed in you, so that you will have the word of God in the name of Jesus alive within you, so that you can become the prophetic people that God wants you to be, so that you can speak life into every situation and circumstance of your life. That is God's design, and only he can create such a reality. You can't cook this out of your own fleshly efforts. You have to receive this and realize this in a rest. It is a creative work that is entirely the workmanship of God. It is not the workmanship that is under the law. If you try and live your Christian life under the law, you will not understand what I am saying, neither will you become a party to this. This is a reality that opens to you by the Holy Spirit. It's a reality that has to be brought inside of you as God works in you. The reason why it is the work of God is so that you, when you realize this workmanship in your inward parts, you will bow before God with gratitude because he has saved you. Because he has brought forth the inconceivable into you and me. He's brought out what you and I can never do, no matter how hard we try. He's brought out a creative work. As Ephesians 2:10 says, he has created you in Christ Jesus for the good works that he has ordained in your life. He has created you in Christ Jesus in such a way that Ephesians 2:10 declares that you are the workmanship of God. And all that God is talking about is contained in his word. It is your responsibility to receive that word with understanding. It is your responsibility to allow that word to be manifested in your heart. And when we say that you allow the word to be manifested in your heart, you must understand that that word represents a person. A person who gave himself to you on the cross. I'm not talking about principles, I'm not talking about the law. I'm talking about the character and nature and testimony of Jesus Christ, the Word. The person through whom this book is explained by God. And what God explains through this book, through Jesus Christ to you, becomes a living witness inside of you, and you unveil as a new creation in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Now that is the design of the Word. That is the basis of a new covenant. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3 calls you a letter of Christ in the New American Standard. It calls you an epistle of Christ in the New King James Version. This is a living epistle, not written in a book. It's a living epistle manifested creatively. And because it is a living epistle, it has got no limits. It is not going to consist of 500 words or 700 words. It is an epistle that can be written and developed forever and forever and forever and forever. For that epistle to be written, the word has to grow in you. It has to manifest in light inside of you. And you need to hear the word. You need to understand the word. You need to accept the word. And you need to hold that word in a good and honest heart And ask the Holy Spirit to take you into that word, to enable you to live that word. Remember, this entire reality of being epistles of the living God is entirely defined in the scriptures. It is not of your intelligence. It is not of your IQ, your EQ. It is not of your human potentials. It is entirely about God's potentials in your life, and God's potentials in your life are defined in Jesus Christ. That is why theologically, when we address Jesus Christ, we address him as the true man. He is the blueprint for a new man. And the blueprint for a new man is to be manifested in a living witness within you. And this living witness is an epistle. It is the epistle of Jesus Christ expressed uniquely in you. It is the epistle in which you have been delivered from darkness, you have been healed, you have been saved, you have been molded, you have been shaped, you have been manifested in a new character and a new nature. You have been anointed, you have been gifted, you have been appointed. You have realized a holy calling. You have become an entirely new creation. And that new creation, the blueprint of that new creation is contained in this book. It is not contained in the figments of your imagination and my imagination. It is contained in this book. And when this book is revealed in your heart, you have the word in your heart and in your mouth. And this creative process is there all the time, provided you learn how to live through what is contained in this word, that you ask the Holy Spirit to enable you to manifest that which will give life. If you look at the gift of prophecy and how 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 3 defines that gift of prophecy, you will begin to understand how God means to develop this reality of the prophetic within you and me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. But one who prophesies the word that comes out spontaneously. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. Jesus said that if you cannot love the human beings who are around you, you are just kidding yourself that you love God. The prophetic is entirely manifested in three words that you and I must continuously be alive to at all times, whether in your workplace, whether in your house, in your relationships. It is described in three prophetic words: edification. Edification builds. Fundamentally, the kingdom of God is being built. It is being built in living human tabernacles. So the psalmist says in Psalm 84 verse 1, how lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord. He's talking about us. That's what the psalmist sees. We don't know what exactly he saw, but he expresses God's word and he says, how lovely are thy dwelling places. So we call ourselves the tabernacle. And the reason why we call ourselves the tabernacle is because the tabernacle is the dwelling place of God. You are that tabernacle. In that tabernacle, God means to manifest his presence, he means to manifest his heart, he means to manifest his name, he means to manifest his eyes. And in that reality, God is saying, I want you to practice this by the Holy Spirit in the name of my Son. And when you fail to do these things, I want you to come before me and draw from me the ability to be changed and corrected. If you cannot speak words that will edify somebody else, you can never be a king in the kingdom of God. neither can you bring forth the prophetic word. You see, it is not about operating a gift. It is not about operating an anointing. It is not about standing in high position. If you don't understand fundamentally that you are called to build, that you have been chosen as a son in order to be built, in order to be a builder, that God's treasures amongst the human race consists of human lives, not of things. God's not interested in things. He's not interested in how big our bank balance is. He's not interested in our organizational procedures. God measures all things from the perspective of His sons. This entire book was written so that the sons will be unveiled. Revelation 21 ends with the sons being made into a bride. And it brings this book to fulfillment. And then onwards, God doesn't talk about what will be after that. It's a whole new beginning. This is the true and faithful witness in your mouth and in your heart. The beginning of the creation of God. The Amen of God's Word. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. The Amen of God's Word. Edify. You and I have to learn how to edify, to build. Sometimes the circumstances in which we are called to build are very painful circumstances, are very difficult circumstances. They can be very disappointing circumstances. They can be circumstances in which there is evil all around you. And God is saying, into the darkness speak, let there be light. And the intent of saying, let there be light, so that there will come forth a building of a new creation. Because we have received that light and we are a new creation. And so you and I are called to speak the prophetic word that will edify, that will build. God is talking about human lives. The one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation, to encourage. In the midst of darkness, encouragement is fundamental. When we look to point out people's mistakes and we look to focus on people's drawbacks and people's failures, we are not being a prophetic people, we are being an anti-prophetic people. We are not manifesting the spirit of Christ, we are manifesting the spirit of the Antichrist. The word in your mouth can manifest life or it can manifest death. That which manifests life is of the spirit of life. That which manifests death is of the spirit of death. And the spirit of death is the manifestation of the spirit of the Antichrist. Jesus Christ said, I came that you may have life and to have it abundantly. Encouragement. Are you an encourager or do you pick people's faults? If you want to be a prophetic person, you need to understand that you must be an encourager. You talk to your spouse. What do you see in your spouse? Their faults or what they can be in Christ Jesus. If you look at their faults, all you will see is death and destruction. Because if you meditate on those faults open to bottomless pits. But if you choose to focus on the Word of God, then the Word of God opens them into heavenly places. Because God is the Creator and nothing is impossible to Him. So we are a prophetic people. When we sit down at meetings and we talk and we address each other, are we a prophetic people or are we a destructive people? Are we building the kingdom of God? Are we finding ways to put stumbling blocks before people? How do we speak towards each other? How do we address towards each other? How did Jesus address us from the cross after spikes had been put into his body? Very fundamental. If you want to be a man and a woman of God, that's very fundamental. If you can't understand the first words on the cross, you understand nothing in this book. You might as well close it and build your coffin. There is no end to picking faults with each one of us because there are so many faults with each one of us. The thing is to have the strength to see beyond those faults. Because if we don't see beyond those faults, we understand nothing of the words in this book. Because if we see the faults, all we are going back is to the law. And brother, the wages of sin is death. If you keep on proclaiming the law, you will be judged by that same law. That person that you are criticizing will die, and surely you too will die. Because your judgment is unjust. It doesn't matter whether you call yourself apostle, super apostle, double double apostle, and double double prophet. The prophetic word is manifested grace upon grace. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. And the law that Moses gave stopped him from entering the promised land. Because when he was judged by that same law, he failed. But it says in John 1:17, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Realized, were realized. Realized, why is it were realized? Because it is in the intents of the Father's heart. For the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. Revelation chapter 13 verse 8. Old King James Bible. In the Father's heart, he ordained from the foundations of the world that through the sacrifice, the shed blood of the Lamb, there will be a faith and a love that will see for us a new beginning. That will put aside the decay of our life. That will put aside all the failings of our life. That's what Jesus manifested in the first words on the cross. He opened an entirely new plane of reality. For the very persons who inflicted evil upon him, the people who objectively betrayed him, the people who objectively spoke evil against him, who manipulated his death, and he's saying, in your situations and circumstances, what are you going to speak forth? In what I have done to you on the cross, what are you bringing forth? You say you are a prophet. You say you are a prophetic people. You say you are ministers of the new covenant. You say you are sons of God. So what comes out of your mouth? What do you give expression to? Do you give expression to life or do you give expression to death? Do you edify or do you condemn? Do you encourage or exhort or do you destroy? What do you choose when you are afflicted by another person? What do you choose to bring forth? We all want to see the prophetic manifested in our lives. We want to be blessed in the heavenly places. God says that is the intent of my heart. I created you to be a blessing. I created you to be morning stars. I created you to be my sons. I created you so that nations will walk in the light of your rising. That is the ambition of my heart over your life. But what do you choose in response to my ambition over your life? Do you choose to be like the bright morning star, or do you choose to be like the prince of darkness? What do you choose how do you choose to manifest out of your mouths? Because your mouth speaks out of the abundance of your heart. What do you choose to bring forth? Do you choose to bring forth life? Yes, you want to live forever. What do you want to live forever for? What are you going to do forever? What is this purpose for eternity? What is this purpose for eternity? What is this purpose that God has designed you for? What do you understand from this book? One who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. Consolation, healing. Are you a healer? The opposite of healer is destroyer or killer. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So what are you when you speak? A killer, a thief, a destroyer, or someone who edifies, someone who heals, someone who encourages? What do you choose to be? That is the basis of the prophetic in your life and my life. We are a prophetic people. We must understand that, and we must choose to live that. You don't have the freedom to say what you want to say. You only have the freedom to speak the truth. So if you are a prophetic people, whenever you pray, you are exercising the reality of the prophetic. When you worship, you are exercising the reality of the prophetic. When you share the gospel, you are expressing the reality of the prophetic. When you counsel someone, you are expressing the reality of the prophetic. How did Jesus speak to the prostitute? Give her a litany of her sins and how many men she has slept with. Or did he open an entire new life for her? He didn't revisit the past. He said, leave the past and get into the future. I will give you a future. And if we were to go to heaven today, that prostitute that he forgave was so moved by him that today she stands because she received his love, because she responded to his love. She will stand with the highest of the apostles. The economics of salvation are totally different from our systems of meritocracy, or supposed meritocracy. We live a lie. Our world system is a blatant lie. It's a manifestation of falsehood, and it's proven with the death and destruction and the decay we see around us. So we are a prophetic people. Knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord. So when you speak forth, are you a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman? Or are you something else? Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. And the Bible says that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. So everything you apply in your life is meant to reflect a God-fearing faith. When you speak something, you are applying your word into something. When God spoke, let there be light, His thoughts were articulated in that simple sentence, and there was light. And God examined that light and He said, it is good. When God created the earth or recreated the earth from its past destruction, He said, it is very good. So when you want to be a prophetic people, the criteria for the prophetic is the willingness to be very good. We are not very good. But God says, I can make you very good. As that rich young man walked away from Jesus very dejectedly, the apostles turned around and told him, if this is the criteria for the kingdom of God, who on earth is going to come in? And the Lord Jesus said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So when you open your mouth and you speak, what do you see? So-and-so is a terrible person. No, you get down on your knees and you pray. Speak the right words over that person's life. That is the prophetic. Not to see them as they are. We are all sinners. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. By law, all of us should be put to death. But by grace, all of us have been chosen to become sons of God. But we need to respond to that grace. So when you get offended, you are rejecting the grace that operates in your life. You are being offended by a small person who did something to you. The reason he did something to you that was not right was because he is a small person. He doesn't know anything better. But you rejected the words of the living God and you responded to those small words. And you let those small words stumble you. You let those small words become your meditation, become your very life form. And it's not giving you life, it is destroying you. And you choose to be like that. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. You get hurt. In this world, you can get hurt all the time. You can get offended all the time. You can get angry all the time. There is no justice in this world. But when you pray for your country, when you pray for your nation, when you pray for the leaders of this world, God wants you to rise above what is and call forth what is not. Romans chapter 4. Verse 17. The second half of that verse. God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. That is the prophetic. The Bible speaks of you and me as saints. That does not exist. That is being called forth. And we have to learn how to call that forth at all times, no matter what we are faced with. Even if we are faced with betrayal within the body of Christ, we must call forth that which does not exist. We must call forth the glory of God's grace. And the glory of God's grace is based on forgiveness. If we don't understand that, we understand nothing about the Christian faith. If you reject forgiveness, you are under the law immediately. Grace operates on the basis of faith. Your faith. This book is based on God's faith. It is God who calls you sons of God. It is God who calls you a prophetic people. It is God who calls you kings. You and I are not kings in ourselves. Do we look like a bunch of kings? Can we go out and live like kings? Can we decide right now in our own free will that I'm going to be happy for the next 1 week and nothing evil is going to happen in my life? We can't do something even as simple as that. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace. It is the fruit of God's work in your life and my life. But we've got to understand it and we've got to speak it forth by the Spirit in the name of Jesus all the time. So your child brings a report card full of red marks. What do you respond to? What you need is more tuitions. The poor kid has got a problem. The problem is this. He either does not understand or he does not like to study. The Bible says he has the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ implies the mind of the Anointed One. It says that your mind can be manifested through the anointing of Christ. So what do you respond to? More tuition or more prayer? Speaking the right words, releasing the words. Your words that you speak are spirit and what? Death or spirit and life? What do you speak? Do you see what is or do you call forth what is not? That is what parenthood is all about. Not running from one tuition to the other. Not measuring your child's worth from a silly report card. If you measure your child's worth from a silly report card, you're not fit to be a parent, man. How are you going to run the kingdom of God? How are you going to stand in positions of authority in the kingdom of God if all you measure is on that kind of rubbish? Your God is the Creator God. What do you see? Your child as a failure or your child as a success in the God who is able to create him? What do you see? If you as a parent who supposedly loves this child cannot see what God has for this child, who is going to see it? If you as a parent who have gone through life and seen so many marriages break, if you decide on marrying your children because there is money involved in the marriage, aren't you a fool? After spending your whole life in a world, you decide that the only basis for a future for your child if he marries someone of his own race. So everyone in your race is good. Is that so? What do you measure? The character and nature of someone, or the color of their skin, or which village from Timbuktu they came from? Is that the mind of Christ? Is that the sum total of the prophetic in your life? And you actually want God to appoint you to high places to reign? Good grief. Thy word, O God, is tried and tested. The word that you say that you want to appropriate is going to be tried and tested all of the time in your life. What do you choose? Do you have courage to speak that which will give life? Or will you fall into the ways of the world and just manifest, spew out the darkness? Are you going to spit like a snake? Or are you going to speak like the Son of God? Amazing words. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He who sets his hope on Jesus Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. Powerful words. What do you set yourself on? What do you bequeath to your children? A carnal position or a prophetic position? What do you have as an ambition for your child? Very basic questions. So the word is in your mouth and in your heart. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. So says the Lord. So arise, brethren, and start thinking about what you say and do every day. Your faith is being continuously tested. Why? Because faith is very important. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Every time you speak, you address God. You either declare that he is, or you declare that he is not. Anything you open your mouth and say declares that God is or God is not. If God is, then you need to understand that he is a rewarder of those who recognize him. Yahweh Yireh, he is a provider. He is by name the provider. He is by oath the provider. He is by oath the rewarder. It is his intent. It is his highest desire to reward you. Because everything that is the creation is a reward from God. Peace in your home is a reward from God. A marriage that works is a reward from God. Peace in your heart, joy in your heart, goodness and kindness and faithfulness are all rewards from God. Self-control, it is a reward from God. The ability to love, the power to heal, the capacity to speak life, all that is a reward from God. The ability to think, the ability to act, the ability to lift up your hand is a gift from God. Have you seen a person who has suffered from a stroke? And all the basic things that we don't appreciate become a tremendous act, isn't it? Sometimes just moving the little finger. Eating food every day is a reward from God. Because nobody can make a seed, neither can they make it grow. Nobody. All the technology of man can never make a seed, neither can they make it grow. Yet when we say grace, how often we are like parrots. We are a prophetic people. So important to understand that. The basis of the prophetic is the Word of God. The Word of God that God wants to reveal in you. This Word that forms in your heart and manifests through your mouth is entirely God's creation. Under the law, the Jews would spend hours just repeating the Word and meditating on it, chewing on it. Well, their history speaks for itself. But in being born again, God has put the seed of His word inside of you. The seed of the word is the seed of the word Himself, the seed of Christ. What is meant to be manifested through this word? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. You know, that entire process depends on you paying attention. That's all. How do you pay attention? With your mouth and with your heart. That's all God says. The manifestation of the morning star is entirely an act of God. To manifest that kind of intensity of light is entirely an act of God. That morning star is entirely expressed in the image and fullness of Him who is called the bright morning star. There are two keys that Revelation 22 verse 16 gives us that are important to this level of the prophetic word manifesting. Revelation chapter 22 verse 16. The second half of the verse, the first two words in verse 16 say, I, Jesus. And then the second half of that verse reads, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. The root to the realization of the prophetic word as a morning star within you and me is this root that is called the root of David. David means the well-beloved. Jesus is God's David to you. As Jesus is manifested in you, the New Testament addresses you and me as beloved. Jesus, God attested to Jesus as, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. I'm reading from the New American Standard. By faith Enoch was taken so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. So this witness is the word in your mouth and in your heart. So Enoch discovered in his mouth and in his heart that he was pleasing to God. Even as he spoke as a prophet of God, he knew as he spoke those words that God was pleased with him. So Jesus came and he fulfilled that whole position for us, because there was only one Enoch before Jesus Christ. But all of us today are called to realize what Enoch realized, that we are well-pleasing to God. To be well-pleasing to God, the Word of God must become a witness in our hearts. That work is God's work, but we have received that work. We have flowed with that work. We have allowed that work to manifest. So God wants to speak those same words He spoke over Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son. He wants to speak it over each one of us. Whether we are male or female, we are sons of God. Galatians chapter 3, isn't it? Verse 26, 27, 28. That through faith in Jesus Christ, we are sons of God. And we are pleasing to God if our faith is in the Son. And there is no longer male or female. There is no longer Jew or Gentile. Praise the Lord. So the root to this prophetic is the root of David. So Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, the city of David. What is Bethlehem? Micah said, Bethlehem Ephrathah, fruitful house of bread. Who is that fruitful house of bread? You and me. It is not merely historical Bethlehem. It is you and me. We are houses of bread. We are the dwelling places in which the Son is to be revealed. We are the epistles of Christ. And as we taste and see that the Lord is good, the root of David is meant to be manifested. We are meant to be anchored in God, in that root of David. Do you love God? Fundamental to the prophetic. When you choose to speak with your mouth, do you love God? Do you love Jesus? When you choose to get angry with your brother, where is your love for Jesus? Which is more, your anger for your brother or your love for Jesus? That is what is being tested. And you have no choice about your brothers. They come in all shapes and all sizes, with all kinds of skin colors. Some of them speak very funny things. They speak funny languages. You have no choice in the matter as to who is your brother. So the Samaritan had to deal with the Jew. The Jew despised the Samaritan. And the Samaritan was required to rise about all that the Jew despised of him. And he was called to minister to that Samaritan. The Jews and the Samaritans had nothing to do with each other. So when Jesus addressed that Samaritan woman, that woman was shocked that he was a Jew addressing her. Some more she was a woman. The root of David, the root of the beloved, unless you unwrap the gift of Christmas, who is the Son, you will never discover what it means that he is the beloved. Unless you discover the power of change in your own heart, the power of his love in your own life, unless you experience those bitter waters of our human experience being transformed into waters of life, you cannot say you have tasted the Lord. You see, it's not about religion, brethren. It's about basic things we say and do with our heart and with our mouth. Hello. The root of David. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. Let's read from verse 7. We speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. So the word that God is giving us, the prophetic word, is meant for our own glory. But the glory is the glory of Christ that God has given us. What does God want to do? Verse 9. Manifest in us things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has for those who love him. So what is the basis for us receiving what you have not heard and what you have not seen before? It is entirely based on the root of David. The root of David is a living expression of your love for Jesus Christ. He who does not love the Son does not love God. He who does not love his fellow brethren does not love the Son. The root of David, the offspring of David. So you are meant to be the offspring of his love. And you choose to be the offspring of his love whenever the words that flow out of your heart are words that testify of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That is the only test. It is not about how wonderful your visions are. It's not about how anointed you are. It's not about how many demons you can see and how many of them you can name. And so that when you speak those names and you cast them out, they disappear. It's about what it is all based on. If it's based on your love for Jesus, if it's based on your intention to glorify the name of Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant. If not, it is just a gift that you are exercising. And if you keep on doing that kind of a prophetic expression, you will end up where Lucifer ended up. Hello. You will end up where Lucifer ended up. Why did he fall? Because he did not love God. Why did he not love God? Because he never bothered to cultivate that love for God. He just was interested in cultivating his own ambition. So we all have ambition. None of us is exempt from it. All of us have ambition. All of us want to be recognized for who we are. No, brother, you have to be recognized for who Jesus is in your heart. There is no other recognition in the kingdom of God. Don't kid yourself. God does not acknowledge you based on the price you paid. He acknowledges you entirely based on the price that the Son of God paid for you. No matter how many sacrifices you make, you have no status before God based on your merits. We stand before God, grace upon grace. We are a people forgiven. Appreciate that and express that. That is the basis of the prophetic. That is the basis of salvation. That is the basis of becoming blessed. That is the basis of becoming the true anointed of God. That is the basis of being truly gifted. That is the basis of becoming a king. So, the key to the prophetic are these two terms. The root of David and becoming the offspring of David. That means, as you grow in the Lord, you appreciate more and more His love for you. As you change, as you understand the anointings that are working in you, your heart opens in gratitude and you realize He has blessed you. You don't deserve the blessing. But so many Christian leaders think they deserve it. That they are there because they have earned it. How can a sinner pay the price for perfection? How can a sinner pay the price for an anointing that is configured in perfection? What absurdity. And so much of the leadership of the church talks about paying the price. How do you pay the price? I can't understand that at all. That's why when we start prospering and the anointings and giftings grow in us, we get all kinds of ideas of our own magnificence. And soon somebody has to book 1 year in advance to catch a glimpse of us. We have become so great. My God, I can reach any time of the day. So what comes out of the root of David and becoming the offspring of David, the key of David? Revelation chapter 3 verse 7. The key of David that opens the door. Jesus said, I am the door. If you don't love Jesus, you will open some other door. And Jesus says, if you open some other door, you are a thief and a robber. So you decide what sort of a person you want to be, a thief and a robber, a wolf in sheep's clothing, a manifestor of the spirit of the Antichrist, or one who is manifested having the key of David. And we make that choice all the time. As we partake of Holy Communion, I want you to remind you of two things. That there is a celebration of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we need to express. If you go back to the Jewish sacrifices, you will find that there were two kinds of sacrifices for sin. The sin offering, which was for unintentional sin, the sin that we commit by nature. And there was also a sacrifice that was called the guilt offering. Offering for deliberate sin, premeditated sin. And we all have the capacity to do that too. When we say that we make a sacrifice, this is the sacrifice that God is looking for. When we make choices to deal with our own nature, somebody hits you on the face, your instinct is to hit him back. God is looking for the sacrifice that you make when you choose not to hit him back, but you choose to pray for your enemy. You choose to understand from God's heart how it is possible to love a person who just hit you. It takes courage to move that way. It is so easy to justify our resentment of somebody who has hurt us. But God wants you not to have resentment, but He wants you to find that love that forgives unconditionally. That love we know nothing of. So the sin offering for a change in our nature, the guilt offering for when we deal with those things that we do deliberately. So Jesus Christ says, remember me as we celebrate Holy Communion. The Passover, the prophetic. The Passover is the prophetic. Every reality of the prophetic is manifested in a Passover. When you learn to love, when you have the ability to love, it is an expression of the Passover. When you learn to forgive the husband who betrayed you, that is the realization of the Passover. When you learn to forgive the boss who cheated you out of a promotion, that is the exercise of the Passover. It's not easy, but it is always possible. And as you do that, you are realizing something of the reality that the Word of God speaks of through the life of Jesus, through the testimony of Jesus. You are learning to become a prophetic people. You are learning how to rise above the darkness of this world, because this darkness is all about hate and revenge and anger and self-justification and all of those things. It takes a courageous man to be justified by God. It takes a courageous man to see a future for a world in turmoil. It takes a courageous man to see peace in the midst of war. It takes a courageous man to see healing in the midst of death and destruction. These are the prophetic sons of God. Choose to be one. It would be wise to be one. The Passover is God's workmanship. The choice to enter the Passover, that is your choice. The task of making you a saint and making you a son, that is God's work. The choice of becoming one, that is your work. You choose, God will unfold the impossible, because nothing is impossible with Him. If you fail, go back to Him and say, I failed you. And while I failed you, I even enjoyed it. Oh God, change my heart. Like David did. Oh God, create in me a clean heart. He didn't muck around. That's why God loved him. He just went to the basic and he said, oh God, you've got to create in me a brand new heart. In Psalm 54 verse 1 is one of my favorite verses. He said, save me, O God, by thy name. and vindicate me by thy power. So through Jesus Christ, God manifested his name, answering David's call 1,000 years earlier. Jesus is the manifested name of God. The power that vindicates us is resurrection power. But will you allow that resurrection power to work in your life? That's the question. If you allow that resurrection power to work in your life, you will realize this Passover. And you will see the prosperity of God in your lives. You will see the prosperity of God in your generations. And God will bless your generations because you chose to believe him. Amen. Abraham was not a perfect man. Yet we all stand today because Abraham chose to believe God. We don't stand here because of the faith of Abraham. We stand here because of the faith of Jesus Christ. But the faith of Abraham opened the way for God to manifest his son. Abraham believed God. We are called to believe God. And if we believe God, this Passover will manifest. Luke 22. Verse 14. And when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Prophetic position. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above every principality, power, might, and dominion. It's a position we cannot attain in ourselves, but it's a position given to all of us in the faith and love of Jesus. It's a Passover position. Praise the Lord for that. Then he said to them with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Fervent desire. Expression of faith and love. He chose to speak words in the face of betrayal. He knew they were going to run away. That these guys were going to walk away from him. And yet he had a fervent desire. Amazing. In the fact that he was going to suffer. And it wasn't going to be an ordinary suffering. It's going to be an excruciating suffering. A humiliation. A total humiliation. And Jesus Christ spoke forth a fervent desire. His heart manifested a fervent desire. Isn't that amazing? Talk about the prophetic. That's why the prophetic is defined in the testimony of Jesus. It is not about how many visions you see. It is how those visions are manifested in the testimony of Jesus. It's not about how gifted you are. Any fool can be gifted. It's about whether those gifts will express the testimony of Jesus. That is the test. It's not about how well you can preach a sermon. Any fool with half a brain can preach a sermon if he sits down and spends enough time in it. But it is whether that sermon speaks of the testimony of Jesus or it speaks of yourself and how intelligent you are. If people can only see your intelligence, then you have betrayed Jesus Christ. With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? It is within you, it is within me, it is amongst us. Don't forget the amongst us. If you think it is all about what is within you, you have missed the whole boat. If you are not nurturing the kingdom amongst us, you are not a servant of God. You are just a selfish so-and-so. Let me put it to you as clearly as I can. So it's hard for us to love some people. It's hard for us to appreciate people who have strong characters, who insist that their way is the way. But we will meet lots of them all over the kingdom of God. We are all a work in process. Thank God we will not be like this forever. So we have to learn how to overcome and see the Passover of the Lamb. That is our great skill. That is the prophetic. That is the prophetic. The key word, it will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Will you allow the kingdom of God to manifest in your heart and in your mouth, brother? That's a choice you make. As a wife, how do you speak to your husband? Maybe he's not as talented as you. How do you address him? And the list goes on, actually. There's so many other situations. He took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." In the New American Standard, it says, "Share it among yourselves." The cup of his witness. The cup of his witness is the essence of the prophetic, because the prophetic is in spirit, water, and blood. There is no other basis for the spirit of prophecy. So are you sharing the cup when you prophesy? Are you sharing the cup when you encourage? Are you sharing the cup? That is how you evaluate your exhortation. That's how you evaluate your edification. That's how you evaluate the words of healing. Which cup is being shared? Whose cup is being shared? For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. What is Jesus looking forward to? The coming of the kingdom of God. How is he going to measure the coming of the kingdom of God? Out of the fruit of the vine. Where does the fruit of the vine come from? From out of the branches. Who is the true vine? Jesus Christ is the true vine. Who are the branches? You and I are the branches. What is Jesus looking for? The fruitfulness that comes off the branches. So when you choose to work in, to move in the prophetic, when you choose to manifest the prophetic, it is the measure of your fruitfulness. You are a father, you are a mother, you are in charge of a building block of the kingdom of God. And that building block goes on from generation to generation. What do you choose to express there? That is your training ground. That is your carpenter's workshop. What you can't do at home, you cannot do outside. You're just kidding yourself. If you look down on your own spouse, you're going to look down on other people in the kingdom of God. It's just automatic. He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We are members of his body. The remembrance is manifested as we live as members of his body. The expression of our membership of the body of Christ is in what we say and what we have in our hearts. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." The cup is the witness. And he's asking you to understand that the witness is potentially an oath of covenant. It is so powerful. So as you manifest the prophetic, understand how awesome is the gift. That you have the potentials of calling forth what is not into being. That is the faith of God that stands in this cup. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for this great and awesome privilege of being a prophetic people. We thank you that your word is meant to be fulfilled in each one of our lives. And we are a people with so many flaws. We are a people who have a nature that is so often not very nice. Sometimes we don't want to know what we are like, Lord. Sometimes when we see ourselves speak and act, we realize that there is so much of darkness in each and every one of us. Yet you have spoken an awesome reality of your word over each one of us. You have held back nothing from any one of us, Lord. It is amazing how you see things. Teach us to see things as you see them. Teach us to become a blessing. Teach us to have the courage of the lion and the lamb so that we will be a blessing. that we will learn how to bless, that we will learn how to love, that we will learn how to forgive, that we will learn how to express your peace, your joy, that we will learn how to express, O God, your goodness and your kindness, Lord, that we will learn how to express that strength of self-control that you mean to develop in each one of us, so that we will do the right thing and not our thing. O God, all of these things are beyond all of us. But you can bring them forth because you are God, and nothing is impossible to you. This prophetic word that you have given us, manifest it in our heart, Father. And give us, O God, the compulsion. Give us, O God, the confidence, the conviction, the courage, the strength to speak that which you have put in our hearts. Let the word that we have heard today, Lord, manifest fruitfulness that bears testimony to Jesus. Enable us to be a fruitful people so that we will be a prophetic people. Enable us to give expression to the testimony of Jesus so that we will truly, O God, manifest the true prophetic that will make us, O God, fruitful branches of the true vine. So bless and sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, because these elements of the bread and wine represent the totality of the prophetic. The prophetic that is expressed in the fullness of Jesus Christ, in substance and in witness. And in substance you mean to create our hearts, and in witness you mean to manifest from our hearts what our mouths are supposed to give life to. That abundance. That abundance, O God, that is meant to bless nations. That abundance that is meant to enable us to become expressive sons of God. A prophetic people who stand in heavenly places, in the heights that you have opened to us, Lord. That we will rise, O God, into the mount of the Lord in a heart that is pure and holy. A heart that you have created, O God, in the witness and testimony of Jesus. A heart that is fashioned and formed in his flesh, the substance of his fullness. So bless and sanctify therefore these elements of bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the abundance of Christ Jesus, manifested to each one of us in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. And nothing will be impossible to us because, Father, you have called it forth from out of nothing into our lives. Enable us to walk into that which you have called forth in your Son by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you that nothing is impossible to us. Jesus said so. He said that nothing will be impossible to us. And we thank you, Lord, that as we hear your word is meant to be performed in us, Lord. That's the key. And what you perform will manifest the intents of your heart. It will manifest your abilities. It will manifest your enabling power. It will manifest, O God, what we don't have. And because of that, we can become sons of God. Because of that, we can become saints. Because of that, we can be the prophetic people you want us to be. We thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. And now may the blessings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you, remain in you, and grow in you. May you truly come alive to your Lord and your God. May you know the fellowship of his Spirit. And may you truly unveil the treasures of Jesus Christ, his faith, his love, his character, his nature, his witness, his testimony, that you will be all that God wants you to be, that you will understand that you can become what God wants you to be. So arise, brethren, go forth. Go forth with courage. Go forth expecting to see God work the miracle of life into you. Go forth. Be blessed. Learn to be a blessing. Learn to speak life. Learn to build. Learn to heal. Learn to encourage. And you will become a growing blessing. And as you persevere in the Lord your God, as you choose to put on Christ, as you choose to express Christ, you will realize that your Father indeed is pleased with you. And when that witness arises in your heart, you will surely rise into heavenly places to behold the glory of your God, to become the blessing that God has ordained to you to be from the foundations of the earth. Arise, go forth, be blessed, and be a blessing always in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless.